when we motioned across the formation, it really was on a couple third down situations. And we're not a big motion team, as you know, and we motioned across on third down, and we needed to just re-ID some things, and we did. I'll take responsibility for that. It really shouldn't have been a problem. It was a problem, and all we had to do was re-ID it, and they got us twice on two third down calls, which they hadn't really been a big pressure package in the third and short situations, but they were, particularly in that second half.
Without running the ball, you guys were doing so well in the first half. They were on a lower rank run defense, and you went from 22 rushing attempts in the first half to 9, and you weren't down most of the second half, so why not keep doing what you were doing?
Well, I thought we did, actually, to be honest with you, because if you look at the situation in the game, if you really look at the game, when we were 10 points, I think there was 13 minutes left in the ball game when they got the ball. And I think at that point we had pretty good balance. And then, if I'm not mistaken, when we got the ball, we were down by 10. And at that point we were forced to throw it, as you know, in that situation. And I think we threw it during that time after the turnover. They ran it 15 and threw it 3. And they scored a touchdown, and then they ran out the clock. And in that same situation, I think we threw it 15, ran it 3, almost the reverse. But we were down by 10, and we were in a two-minute mode trying to get caught up. So most of our passes that we threw and generated in that time frame, those 15 passes, were almost all in a two-minute mode trying to gain a 10-pointed back. And we actually put ourselves in position for a field goal. So I felt like we had good balance throughout the game. But once we get to a 10-point differential, it got to be a different ball game.
Mike, how much did Gibson's injury impact what your
play calling
is going to be down the rest of the game?
It didn't really impact it. You know, we always feel like the next guy has to step up. I have a lot of confidence. I mean, first of all, let me say this about Gibson. I love the kid, and didn't know he was out, this week until until after the game. But just a great kid, and has worked hard. Always an upbeat, positive kid. But we expect Matthews to step up in that situation, so it didn't change how we called the game. I mean, Gibson's a special player. There's no question about that. But I think Matthews has really improved a lot in the last year, and I never thought he'd end up being an inside receiver. But he's really developed as an outside and inside receiver, as has Gibson. And Gibson never played inside until he got here, and really developed into, I think, a fine inside receiver, a very good one.
Would you be comfortable with Matthews like a primary slot receiver?
If he has to assume that role, whoever we get there, I'm going to be comfortable with. You know, those are our guys who we go to war with, and I hate that expression. Those are the guys we go to the game with.
Do you think he's capable of that role?
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of confidence in him.
I know Ryan's getting hit a lot, but is there anything you can do to teach him to be more protective of the ball?
Yes, there's always things you can do to be more protective of the ball. In some of the situations that when he's in a throwing mode and it's to his backside and he's getting ready to throw, that's a difficult one. And I think he's been susceptible to that a couple times. That's something you always are working on.
Mike, as far as the offense, and I guess the morale, the mindset, you guys didn't score in the second half, and they're without Wilfork and Mayo and Tlaib. Is the mindset still good of the offense? And now maybe Gibson is out. Are you guys still upbeat? Are you a little bit down, or what's the thought?
I think we have we just had a meeting and talked a lot about just that, and I think we have a pretty resilient group of guys. I think we have excellent chemistry. The challenge that they have that I always talk to them about is, you know, they can't let the noise outside the room affect the mindset inside the room, and obviously you all have a job to do, and that's what you have to do, but it's not just your job; it's their loved one. You know, everybody that they talk to and they, they deal with and what their opinions are and so forth and so on. So the only people that can make a difference are the people inside the room, and they know that, and they depend on each other. And I think it's a good room, and I feel like it's fairly resilient. I think we have good chemistry. I think we believe in each other. We didn't get the job done. Very disappointed about that, I can't tell you. But at the same time, I believe that they'll fight back and we'll have a good practice today.
Mike Wallace made his reputation as a deep threat in Pittsburgh. Do you feel that he's been underutilized in that role this season thus far? And if so, why?
I believe that Mike has brought a dimension to our team that we didn't have previously. And I believe that we have had some opportunities to use him, that for whatever reason something has happened here or there. You know, when you're throwing the ball deep down the field, certain things have to happen exactly right. There has to be a certain coverage to get that. I mean, if you call in a certain play and they happen to have two safeties and a corner down low, that play is probably not going to be a first read. You also, because of a deeper play, the protection has to hold up. The play that Ryan was sacked on and fumbled on, that was a deep vertical play down the field. So we have done that. It's just a matter of everything working together in concert with one another, allowing us to get the ball down the field.
Some guys can go up and battle guys for balls. How do you view his ability to do that?
I don't know if we've actually given him that opportunity yet to evaluate him that way. You know, I don't know if I've, you know, he's caught some deep balls for us. I think we have to, in order to do that, you'd have to ask me that at the end of the season when we've given him more opportunities. And in order to do that, I mean, everything has to work, the coverage, protection, you know, the timing and the whole thing, so.
Coach, two more guys.
Have you felt his frustration, you know, with his role? I mean, you guys might, you know, say he's doing exactly what he needs to do, but just a guy like that needs the ball, you know, I mean, his frustration with it.
I'm sure that as a competitor, I would hope that you know, he came here for a reason, and he knows what that is, and he knows what the expectations are. And he and I just had this conversation not too long ago. But he's handling it, and we'll move forward, and he'll be fine. He practices very hard. I enjoy the way he practices and prepares. But certainly, you know, like any receiver, they enjoy catching footballs, and you can't fault them for that. And that's part of what they do. So,
Mike, what did Andy,
you
see,
what did you see out of your tight ends from a blocking
standpoint? Yeah, I'm real proud of our tight ends, and I'm really proud of Michael Agnew. I mean, you know, a couple weeks ago we didn't have a fullback, and we were kind of one dimensional. And you know, the further your hips are from the ground, the tougher it is to play fullback in my mind. And you know, Mike's. You know, Mike's like an ostrich type of guy, you know, and so, you know, you don't see many ostriches playing fullback. So he, he's his hips are that high off the ground. But that son of a gun has become a tough guy. And he's like shot out of a cannon. He made some really, really good blocks in the game. And I'm really proud of how he's come around. And we also line him up in base. When you have a fullback who can line up in the backfield, but also split him out, you know, empty, and he actually caught a pass. We spread him out in the first half and did some things with him out there. So, he made a nice catch out there. So, he really brings a dimension to us that I really enjoy. Clay. I mean, Clay's really come on strong. I'm really excited about where he's at. And Sims is a young player. He's got a ways to go, but he's made some progress. But the guy that really caught my eye, I think. Michael Agnew, from where he was and the development that he's had as a person as much as a player, you know, just maturity. And, you know, he got married, he has a baby now, and he's a father, and that brings on certain responsibilities. And, you know, he's got a little more things on his plate, so maybe he's grown up a little bit. But I'm proud of where he's at.
Coach,